Deathlands number 2, Red Holocaust. It is the late 21st century, and Russia has become even more of a nightmare than the Deathlands, with roving bands of marauders bent on raping and pillaging every town they come across.
You can't take our food! We are all poor!
He is poor no more, my brothers and sisters. Let us go now to his filthy town and help them all to escape from poverty.
While in the nuke-blasted hell of the former state of Alaska, Ryan and his band have come across a startling secret pre-dark outpost run by a crazed old man.
I'm Quint, the keeper of the redoubt, and my word is law, and the law is death. I had to kill your friend.
And yet they also find time to take pleasure in their new surroundings.
This path feels incredible.
How does this feel?
But the horrors of the Deathlands aren't avoided for long.
Blessed are the nukes!
And blessed shall be the fallout!
For we await thy black visage.
Amen!
And Ryan and JB must face the wrath of the Russian marauders when they invade the Deathlands.
You're wasting your time torturing me. We aren't gonna give you our guns.
Perhaps. But do not worry. The time will not be wasted.
Deathlands 2, Red Holocaust. 7 unabridged hours in graphic audio. The movie in your mind. As soon as he was coherent and dressed, Ryan ordered everyone back to the buggies, ready to move. Doc had walked off by himself and returned only now, when he heard the roar of the engines. He looked pale. Ryan took him to one side.
You feeling okay? You know, Doc, you did what you had to. That bastard would have opened you from...
Thorax to pubis, Ryan. Yes, I know. But killing does not come easy to me.
It's a craft you have to learn, Doc. Just like any other.
Then I vow I will do my best.
What?
While walking there alone with my contemplations, I recalled something I had forgotten. I mentioned that the word crater brought back memories. I have now managed to remember it.
Go on.
Cron jumps.
What the?
Doc looked around to make sure the others were not within hearing distance.
The gateways. You know they're mat transports. You get in, and instantly you're carried somewhere else.
Yeah, I know. Look, I'm freezing to the bone out here, Doc. Can't we?
It won't take much longer, sir. I said that there had been some dreadful accidents. I didn't tell you because I couldn't remember it, but the gateways have also been used for other experiments. Cron jumps. Time travel. It does work.
Not likely. Come on, Doc. You know you get confused sometimes.
Most of the time, my dear Mr. Corder. But here is a moment of crystal clarity. I know that time travel is a reality. I know better than any living soul, believe me. But they tried other times. Once and once only, it nearly worked.
Either Doc Tanner had completely lost all his creds, or he was telling the truth. Ryan shook his head, resisting the temptation to slap himself to see if he was dreaming all this.
It is strange how I can fail to know even my right hand from my left and still recall some fragments of the past with such clarity. It was the 6th day of August in the year 1930, 71 years before Armageddon. A man of great distinction got into a cab in what was called Manhattan in old New York. He waved to a friend and disappeared forever.
What's this got to do with talking about volcanoes and craters?
Wait. The men who ran the Gateway and the Cerberus projects were evil. Oh, such wickedness and misery. My dear, dear Emily. They were trawling and they picked up this man. I was there when he came through, or when what was left of him came through.
Ryan had enough sense not to interrupt Doc to ask who Emily was. That might have been enough to throw his memory off the subject forever.
It nearly, so nearly proved a success. A justice of the Supreme Court. It would have... I can still see what came.
Go on, Doc.
Behind Ryan, the rest of the group had boarded the ice buggies and were watching curiously from the op slits.
A shirt with a high collar. Remember, the shoes were very sharply pointed, which was the fashion of the time, and were polished like twin mirrors. The suit was double-breasted, a brown pinstripe. That was the expression, pinstripe. That torn suit, with the label of the tailor still neatly sewn within it.
The early sun had long gone, and the day was turning colder and bleaker. Gray clouds streaked with a dull purple were gathering over the giant mountain behind them, and already the first flakes of threatening snow were blowing.
Those clothes, and most of his trousers were missing. All but the lower jaw of the head was gone. That row of white teeth, everything sliced clean as a razor, and very little blood. The right hand was there, perfect, the fingers still curling. But the left was hewn away by some unknown and unimagined power. The voice mewed like a kitten. I think that was the worst of it. That little, little mewing voice. Oh, Lord, forgive us for what was done in the name of science and progress. Progress. That poor relic of a man, plucked from the past to end. Who knows where or when.
But what's this got to do with craters, Doc? I don't see the connection.
Doc's veiled eyes turned to him, unblinking.
The name of...
It's dropping fast, Ryan. If we're going, we should move. Gonna be bad weather soon.
Sure, sure. Go on, Doc.
For what? Go on? I comprehend you, Mr. Corder. Indeed, I do. Go on and get into those infernal internal combustion machines, of course.
Too late. The thought had gone. The call from the armorer had been enough to tip Doc's mind back over the edge, from sanity into utter confusion. But even the few coherent sentences that Doc had managed gave Ryan plenty to think about. Time travel. Maybe the gateways could be used for time travel. Now that was something else entirely.